the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So it's the dark of the moon, the dark of the moon. There's a new moon in Gemini airwaves tomorrow. This is traditionally when sane, reverent people would gather to direct the course of culture and to animate the desirable guiding story. We have wonderful guests waiting in wings soon. But first, you know, we are in Fund Drive, and KPFA is doing a good experimental thing. We all want to support each other. Again, the airwaves, and again, for our soon guest, Stephen Donziger. Because we like to do radio magic. It's airwaves into action. For 23 years, we've been doing that. So the wonderful experiment that KPFA is doing that worked so well last week is, rather than premiums and CDs and plastic and stuff, we are saying when you pledge, 10% of your pledge can go to a nonprofit. They are listed on KPFA's website, its food banks, and so on. But I particularly love the UndocuFund San Francisco, UndocuFund Sonoma County, UndocuFund Oakland, which gives relief to undocumented workers and families who are under extreme public health emergency shelter-in-place orders and need much. So that's a great thing. So any of your donations, you can request where you want 10% of your donation to go by kpfa.org or dialing 1-800-HEY-KPFA. That's 1-800-439-5732. So, in keeping with, again, crucial voices, we welcome Stephen Donziger, indefatigable lawyer, lead organizer of 30,000 indigenous people in their class action suit against Chevron for Chevron's apocalyptic degradation of indigenous land in Ecuador. I know so many people involved in that. Chevron was ordered to pay $18 billion. Let's bring in Diane Wilson, who won against Formosa Plastics, one of our great radio guests. It was later reduced to $9.5 billion, none of which has been paid. Judge Lewis Kaplan hired a private law firm to prosecute Stephen. Stephen refused to turn over his cell phone and computer, whereupon Judge Lewis Kaplan ordered him to be under house arrest, from whence he joins us today. Welcome, Stephen.
Hi, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's an honor, and your lawyer Lauren is walking her dogs, but which is a wonderful thing to do. And you are adorable. And so joining us also is one of Stephen's lawyers, Lauren Regan. Brief thing from your impressive resume. After 5 years of public interest environmental law, yay, lawyer team, Lauren Regan went on to create the Civil Liberties Defense Center and is currently the executive director and senior staff attorney. Goes on and on, again, defending people against slap suits and grand jury resistance and all of those. So welcome, Lauren.
Thank you.
And I love the ending of your email from Martin Luther King. One of the great liabilities of history is that all too many people fail to remain awake through great periods of social change. Every society has its protectors of status quo and its fraternities of the indifferent, who are notorious for sleeping through revolutions. Today, our very survival depends on our ability to stay awake, to adjust to new ideas, to remain vigilant, and to face the challenge of change. Yes. So welcome, Lauren. Welcome, Stephen. So, yes, I've posted the Intercept article, which just came out, I guess, on May 20th. Crucial thing. A great ally pointed me to this. So, Stephen, you're joining us from your house arrest for the last 6 months, yes?
Yeah, actually, almost 10 months now. But yes, I'm in Manhattan, in my apartment where I live with my wife and 13-year-old son on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Last August 6th, I walked into court, and they shocked me by ordering me detained. Ankle bracelet put around my ankle. It's very big. It's like a black claw. It has not come off since that moment. I sleep with it, eat with it, bathe with it. It blinks. It talks. I have to change the battery 3 times a day. Wow. And it's just, I don't know, just very surprising, shocking, really. I'm the first lawyer in American history, as far as we can tell, who's ever been detained pre-trial on a contempt charge. And part of the crazy thing about it, it's been 10 months, the longest sentence ever imposed on a lawyer in New York convicted of contempt. And I remind people I've not been convicted. I haven't had a trial yet. Is only 3 months of home detention. So I'm now over three times longer than the longest sentence ever imposed. And there's, in my view, there's no reason for this. It's cruel, and it's being driven by a lot of anger coming from Chevron because of my work down in Ecuador and elsewhere to hold the company accountable for what many people believe is the worst oil-related environmental catastrophe in world history that's now in the Ecuador and Amazon, been there almost 50 years and it's never been cleaned up. So that's my story in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I read the articles that you sent me, the Greenpeace and so on. You know, you first visited Ecuador in 1993 and witnessed the apocalyptic disaster, and then there's the class action suit, and then 2009 And Chevron, right? Nigeria, Ken Saro-Wiwo, right? I mean, they were the nefarious company involved in his death for defending his land in Nigeria, right?
I think Chevron has been very involved in causing a lot of pollution in Nigeria. I think that was mostly Shell, but it really makes the larger point that a lot of the oil majors, really all of them, have a business model where they seem to think they can engage in toxic dumping with impunity in countries around the world where they think they'll never be caught. And they have enormous power, and often the regulatory regimes in countries where they operate are simply bought off and captured by them such that they can't stand up to them. In Ecuador, they polluted with impunity, I mean, systematically for 25 years. They designed the system to dump. It wasn't an accident like the BP Deepwater Horizon accident was in 2010. It was designed this way, and it was never, even though there was 4 million gallons a day of cancer-causing toxic wastewater being run into rivers and streams that the local indigenous folks had relied on for their drinking water and their fishing and their bathing, there had not been a single judgment, court judgment against them the entire time they operated. There had been one fine for about the equivalent of $50, and they pulled out billions and billions of dollars of profits. A lot of oil companies, they're grifters, so they left behind, you know, this awful environmental catastrophe that's caused nothing but death and destruction and despair and economic problems for tens of thousands of people for many, many years. Thousands of people have died based on independent health evaluations of the region. And they just abandoned the country, took their profits, and left the bill for the people they victimized with their poison. So it's a business model that doesn't work for, obviously, the people of Ecuador. Writ large, it doesn't work for the planet because our planet is being destroyed by the fossil fuel industry. But it's their business model. You know, it's to cut and run, do it for as cheaply as they can, externalize costs onto the backs of vulnerable communities, and get out of town. And that's what they've done. Until we came along. When I say we, I mean our team. I've been a part of the team now for over 25 years, the community leaders, you know, dozens of people have worked on this over the years, and we were able to actually win the case in a court in Ecuador where Chevron itself wanted the trial to be held, where they insisted the trial be held, and whose courts they had praised for years in order to move the case from the United States to Ecuador. So once they lost, suddenly they decided they didn't want to play by the rules. They tried to undermine Ecuador's courts, and they started attacking all the lawyers to distract attention from their own environmental crimes and wrongdoing. And that's really the work Boren does at her organization called the Civil Liberties Defense Center in Oregon. This is a slap suit writ large, meaning it's being used to silence free speech and to, you know, protect a corporation from being held accountable. And it's very dangerous because you mentioned at the top, the judge, who is a very pro-business judge with a long history of decisions that favor Chevron in this case, he decided to prosecute me criminally. I don't believe I've committed a crime. I've challenged some of his decisions. I'm a very law-abiding, rule of law kind of person. I'm very careful about that. But he went after me, I think, to silence me because I was challenging him to a degree that made him uncomfortable. Interestingly, his contempt charges were rejected by the regular federal prosecutor in New York. And once they were rejected, he then appointed a private law firm that has extensive financial ties to the oil and gas industry and to Chevron and companies related to Chevron to prosecute me criminally. And I want people to just take a step back and think about that. I'm being prosecuted criminally in the name of the U.S. government, in the name of the public, by a private law firm that has Chevron as a client because I was able to help my clients win a significant, if not historic, environmental judgment against Chevron in Ecuador. This is the first corporate criminal prosecution I've ever heard of in our country. And, you know, it's really frightening to think about what that means for the nature of our democracy, for free speech, for civic society. It's really terrifying. And it shows the lengths to which, in this environment in which our country exists now, where corporations have so much power, it shows the lengths to which corporations can gain control of public institutions, in this case parts of the judiciary, to carry out their completely private and self-interested agendas against human rights leaders like myself.
Yeah, it's crucial, and it would make an excellent Law and Order episode. Lauren Regan, yes, bless your dedicated work for toiling in the realms of, I guess, could we say that you are aspiring to compost corruption into nutrient for sane, reverent? Is that one of the metaphoric functions of your dedication to compost corruption into nutrient for sane reverence for the earth?
Well, you know, I am definitely a really strong believer in power of the people. And, yeah. You know, if we don't fight back against corporations and especially the fossil fuel industry and kind of usurping or subverting our democratic processes, then we basically become slaves to those corporations, and, you know, I'll die fighting against that. But for my organization, you know, why we have joined Stephen's team pro bono is, you know, wow, as a lawyer that also does environmental and human rights litigation, I can definitely see that the ultimate goal of Chevron and the fossil fuel corporations is to chill lawyers from taking on cases like this. They want lawyers to be afraid to go after them on behalf of plaintiffs for fear that their life will end up in the same kind of turmoil that Stevens has. And so, you know, I'm a strong proponent, you know, in that Martin Niemöller quote, that, you know, first they're coming for Stephen Danziger, but if we don't stand up and defend him with everything we've got, we are very likely to be next. You know, if the corporations see that by going after a single lawyer, they can make it so that lawyers around the country and around the world might be just a tiny bit hesitant to take on the next Amazon, Chevron debacle, then they win. And that, I think, is really the foremost danger with cases like this, and why it's so important for, you know, all of us to have solidarity with targets, because right. It's not that Stephen did anything wrong, you know, that Stephen, you know, did anything to warrant being the target of Chevron and of this case, other than doing his job incredibly well and winning, you know, this historic judgment. And time again, we see corporations like Chevron, when they don't want to pay up, when they don't want to be accountable to the communities that they have destroyed or damaged, they will try to distract, and they will try to pluck out some target, you know, to try to basically confuse the public, so that they aren't seen as the bad guy or the evildoer that they clearly are.
Yes, and again, the nefarious bamboozling, which is important to you both and all of us and world to discern. Because I remember some years ago, I think it was when the judgment came down, and I was talking to a perfectly wonderful relative, and we had whose great friend was Cecilia Alvear, who was an Ecuadorian journalist who was ardently interested in this case. And my relative said, yes, but there was we're really on the side of the judge because there was so it's effective bamboozling. I mean, this was sort of a normal liberal person who's like, no, but it's good. So you're always what you're always diving in going no yes. I mean, are you always again composting corruption and composting bamboozling and delusion and nefarious distraction away from the main thing?
Well, I mean, I think we need to focus. You have to look behind the dark curtain, right? You know, I mean, in this case, when I hear, especially other lawyers, but when I hear people say, like, well, this judge found him in civil contempt of court, so he must have done something wrong.
Right.
No,
right.
That is what state repression is about, you know, that they are able to change the
story.
Rule book. You know, they're able to change, change the game so that they turn the tables. It's not surprising that Chevron, with all its money and power and, you know, thousands of lawyers that worked on the case that prosecuted Donziger, that they could find some meager technicality to hang their hat on. But you only need to take one step back to be able to see the forest through the trees.
And also just from Stephen, your Wikipedia page, which is pretty good. In 2020, a group of 29 Nobel laureates condemned judicial harassment by Chevron and urged the release of Donziger. Human rights campaigners have described the treatment of Donziger as an example of a strategic lawsuit against public, right, SLAPP participation, which are used to censor and intimidate and silence critics by burdening them with the cost of a legal defense until they abandon their criticism or opposition. So where are we now? And I know, Stephen, that you sent along some crucial things. We KPFA, we are in Fund Drive. I'm going to make a brief announcement here to be responsible. And I am hoping that you can come back in June for an even longer full. But we still have time. But you also mentioned, you know, MakeChevronCleanUp.com is part of the campaign to free you and goodness, and then to provide financial support for your legal defense fund, DonzigerDefense.com. That's DonzigerDefense.com defense.com. So, well, let me make a brief responsible thing. Oh, KPFA, we are in Fund Drive. I'm going to take just a brief moment to keep us going here. And KPFA is doing a quite wonderful thing, which is rather than things, 10% of your donation can go to a nonprofit of your choice that's listed, food banks. But I'm particularly enamored of UndocuFund San Francisco, UndocuFund Sonoma County, UndocuFund Oakland, which supports undocumented workers. And you can donate, again, to keep these airways, to keep Stephen Donziger and his fabulous lawyer voice on the air, absolutely, because this is, again, the powerful magic of directing collective attention. And we've seen this before with Michael Stewart Onnie and his mobilizing social media to actually have effective, you know, interceding in the Amazon, all those things. So, again, by calling 1-800-439-5732, you're pledging that we can keep our information alive to support people. Well, there's nobody quite like Stephen Donziger and his lawyer, but kinned, people who are our team, who are under the pressure of full corporate nefarious corrupt assault. So you're pledging for that. There you go. 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. Now, back to our regularly scheduled program here. So for both of you, it is a huge, rich, important, crucial story case. Where are we now, and what would you like to see happen, Stephen and Lauren? Stephen first.
Well, I'd like to just remind people that behind all of these attacks on me and the battle up here, there's tens of thousands of people in the Amazon rainforest who have been suffering for decades. The extent of the pollution is almost unimaginable. It's apocalyptic. It's like an environmental holocaust. There's 1,000 open-air toxic waste pits. Chevron never put fences around them, never put warning signs that they contain hazardous material. People are being exposed constantly to toxins via their drinking water and their food supply and the air they breathe. There are many people at risk of death. It's the world's worst oil-related catastrophe. It's called the Amazon Chernobyl. And people need to always remember that first and foremost. I mean, I am being attacked primarily by Chevron to distract attention mm-hmm. from those people and from Chevron's responsibility to those people. Now, in terms of my personal well-being, I'm nervous. My family's nervous. We really don't know where this is heading. They're constantly denying me what I believe are my due process rights. For example, in my contempt trial, it's almost certain I'm going to be denied a jury of impartial fact finders. The judge in the case is a member of the Federalist Society. She's very tight with the judge who earlier engineered another non-jury Chevron case against me under the civil RICO statute. I'm the first person in American history to be charged civilly under the civil RICO statute by a corporation and denied a jury. I was also sued for the most money in American history for an individual, $60 billion. So all these things seem to be escalating against me.
Wait a minute. Who sued you for $60 billion?
Chevron. Chevron sued me for treble damages on the original judgment, which is around $20 billion in Ecuador. They sued me personally. And on the eve of that trial, to avoid a jury, they dropped every penny of those damages. Because under the Constitution, under the U.S. Constitution, in a civil case, if you're sued for money, you almost always get a jury. So to avoid a jury and to make sure this judge who had indicated and signaled to Chevron he was going to rule in their favor to make sure he would decide the case without a jury, that is to deny me an impartial fact finder, they dropped all the money damages claims on the eve of trial. But as Lauren pointed out, this is ultimately about intimidation. They thought they could intimidate me off the case by suing me for $60 billion. That didn't work. So they tricked it up and dropped the money damages claims on the eve of trial to avoid a jury. And then after that, we kept going. And we've gotten 6 appellate court decisions validating the judgment, both in Ecuador and in part in Canada, including the Supreme Courts of both Ecuador and Canada, have ruled in favor of the Ecuadorians. So, this little pocket of pro-Chevron judicial activism here in New York is what Chevron is using to attack me. And as I said, they've essentially taken over the prosecutorial function of our government to detain me. And this is really, as I said, this is really concerning. It's frightening. The only thing or what we really need is for people to pay attention to this. We need people to care. We need people to speak out. We need people to attend the trial, which is scheduled to start September 9th in Manhattan. Of course, with the COVID pandemic, it's unclear when the trial will actually happen. But right now it's scheduled for September 9th. But we need public scrutiny and we need monitoring by human rights groups to look at this. And we've gotten the support of 29 Nobel laureates. We've gotten groups like Amnesty International and Global Witness, Amazon Watch and others to dig in and monitor the trial, and all that really helps. We need citizen action. The website you just mentioned, makechevroncleanup.com, it's all one word. There's a page there when you go to it to sign up to help us. We've gotten, I think, 13,000 people have signed up in the last month, and you'll get an occasional newsletter from me about the case, and there's things you can do to help to take action. And I know times are really tough, but if anyone out there is in a position to donate even a modest amount of money or whatever you can feel comfortable doing, I have a legal defense fund. It's called DonzigerDefense.com, and out of that, I pay the legal expenses of lawyers and some of my living expenses so I can support my family. Being detained, I've been completely deprived of the ability to earn an income. and also pay to raise awareness about the case. So that's DonzigerDefense.com, and spread it around to those who you know. Who, when people ask what can we do to help, those are the two things. You know, the website, MakeChevronCleanup.com, or help with the Legal Defense Fund.
That's great. And you know, and just to toss in, you know, again, your one attorney, Deepak Gupta, said, "Mr. Donziger is a person of integrity, indisputably an advocate dedicated to helping indigenous people and local communities of the Amazon play equally on the same fields of civil litigation dominated by the chevrons of the world. I have never seen a judge whose disdain for one side of the case was this palpable. A great injustice was being done." So Laura, In the spirit of this show, both realistic and not, what would, in a realistic way, would you like to see happen? And then in a completely unhindered by realism way, what would you like to see happen, if you could kind of paint a vision with words?
Well, I think in terms of the legal process, if the law were to be followed as it should be in every case, the charges against Stephen in the criminal court of the Southern District of New York should be dismissed, period.
Yes, yes.
And then, you know, we can start talking about how do you put this person back to whole as a result of the, you know, corruption and abuse that the legal system has wrought upon him and his family. But initially, you need to take the threat of jail and criminal prosecution off the table completely.
All right, so, and then just
and
for the fun of it,
we're realistic and idealistic.
No, it is. It is. So the threat of jail. What is? Remind us, Stephen, what you were saying. The threat of jail is that. I mean, you've been under house arrest for, you know, what you said, 10 months. What is the further threat of jail?
Well, there's a maximum of 6 month jail sentence if he is convicted,
right.
As well as fines and up to 5 years of post-prison supervision as well. And these are all federal prosecutions, so it would, you know, likely come with losing his bar license and thus, you know, his career and passion and livelihood for the rest of his days, as well as financial remuneration, you know, and other sanctions as well.
Right. So Stephen, you were stripped of your law license, but then you got it back, right?
Well, this is another bizarre feature of the attacks on me. Basically, based on Judge Kaplan's non-jury decision that, again, has been contradicted by 29 appellate judges in Ecuador and Canada, but solely based on that contested decision, he and his colleagues were able to orchestrate the suspension of my bar license in 2018 without even giving me a hearing. They made the determination that I'm a threat to the public order, immediate threat to the public order. There's a statute in New York. I fought for what's called a post-suspension hearing, which I finally got last fall. 13 witnesses, many of them prominent members of the bar, came in to testify as to my integrity. And the hearing officer, who's a former federal prosecutor, ruled in my favor and recommended my immediate reinstatement as a lawyer. But his recommendation is not binding, and it's now going to be heard by a state appellate court. 98% of these recommendations get implemented. But, you know, Chevron and their lawyers and the judge who dislikes me are in there, you know, fighting their own battle to preserve their own rulings and stuff. So it's unclear where it's heading. All I know is that the one neutral hearing officer in the United States ever to hear these allegations against me ruled in my favor. And that's an historical fact that cannot be changed. I do want my license back. He recommended that I get it back. Obviously, I'm a lawyer. I love doing my job. I love my work. I love helping people. I love fighting for human rights. But, you know, I'm smart enough to know that historically the bar licensing process in New York and in other states has often been used by, you know, entrenched interests and corporations to go after lawyers who challenge them. You know, the lawyers who really ought to be before that grievance committee are not me or my colleagues. It's the Chevron lawyers who fabricated evidence. They paid a witness $2 million. Come into court and testify falsely that I bribed an Ecuadorian judge. He later admitted lying. and a forensic report proved he lied. But, you know, the lawyer, and by the way, he did that after he was coached for 53 days by Chevron's lawyers prior to his testimony. So, you know, there's others who should be before that process, but, you know, instead they go after the good guy, the lawyer who actually held the oil, the polluting oil company accountable. So that whole piece of this puzzle is also an illustration of how dangerous these corporate attacks can be and how even the Bar Grievance Committee can be used in a slap context to go after lawyers who go up against these entrenched interests that pollute and cause tremendous harm to people.
Yes, and certainly here, and I do hope we can think of this as part one, because it's a huge story and it's important to everybody, and we want to mobilize. You know, you have a great team, and Lauren is fabulous. Who wouldn't want Lauren as an advocate? But we want to also expand that, and direct huge and set huge information. And just in that realm of effective, which we can go on with again. In the next show that we do, I hope it's in June. Is it useful to direct attention to Judge Kaplan? Because remember, the Southern District of New York declined to prosecute you, and then when Kaplan hired a private firm to prosecute you, so is it useful to direct attention at him and his corruption, or is that a distraction?
Well, what I will say on that is the National Lawyers Guild and the International Association of Human Rights Lawyers has drafted a letter in support of Stephen and calling attention to the numerous appearances of partiality in these cases. And, you know, every assistant U.S. attorney that we've spoken to so far has said that they have never heard of a judge engaging on his own in appointing a private law firm and selecting the federal judge that takes over from him. You know, normally that is a random selection. And so we haven't been able to find anyone who has had quite the same experience. It's also my understanding that there is a large association of human rights lawyers that are working on a ethics complaint to call at least an investigation to Judge Kaplan, if not yes. calling for his recusal or discipline.
Or disbarring would be satisfying.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about federal Article III judges that are kind of appointed for life, it is an incredible uphill battle to remove them. You know, I mean, they are entrenched. And that's part of why they think that they have the power and impunity to be a bully in the courtroom, you know, like this, is because they literally have a lifelong job, and it is almost impossible to take them out of that position of power once they achieve it, which is why it's also so frightening to think about what the Trump regime has done in the last 3 years with federal courts around the country. You know, it will impact the way my law practice will engage for the rest of my career.
Yeah, no, bless your heart and all the support and well-wishing and approval and encouragement and many practical things as well to yourself. That's right. It's definitely an against all odds worthy thing, but Trickster, you know, is engaged, and Trickster likes against all odds. So I'm going to reluctantly release you both, because I'm going to be responsible so that we can keep this station on the air in order to have you back. There we go. But also, Stephen, just in signing off, I mean, absolutely indefatigable support, and we will see how it manifests in tangible ways. And to your really great work, Lauren, absolutely. So, and also because on your website, which is donziger&associates.com, you know, there is the video of what you discovered in Ecuador, and everyone really should see this. It is ghastly, the level of goo and dead animals and creatures and cancers and the humans and the little tiny hospital overwhelmed. It is essential that we embrace all of our team. So if you want to have any last, for this episode, moment of spiraling out a well-wishing or a fierce blessing or anything, Stephen, to spiral on out. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, just to be clear, my work website is donzigerlaw.com.
Okay.
Main website, and I know we've thrown out a lot of websites here,
right.
But you can go to that website, but to take action, go to makechevroncleanup.com. And the other thing I just want to say is if people want more frequent updates, I'm pretty active on Twitter, and you can follow me at S. Donziger, D-O-N-Z-I-G-E-R. But I wanted to thank you so much for reaching out to me. And inviting me on your show and having Lauren, who's a fabulous lawyer. I'm so fortunate to have Lauren on the legal team, and she's done great work for many, many years, very important organization in terms of protecting freedom and free speech in our society. So, you know, I'm hopeful. I know this is obviously, please don't be demoralized by my story. It's actually an inspirational story because the people of Ecuador beat Chevron in court in an historic judgment. And the reason this is happening is because of all of our success. And I'm confident we can fight through this and force Chevron to be held accountable, and also force the elements in our federal judiciary and in our legal profession, who I think are participating in these attacks, to also be held accountable. We just have to do it together. As Lauren said, it's about citizens organizing. Like, you know, positive change has always happened in our world, in our country. So let's just focus on this and get moving, because I think the end, the end of helping people of Ecuador get what they deserve, which is cleanup of damage, is coming closer.
Absolutely, and we wish you. I know at this challenging time, but just a little bit of just a spicy wit and the spirit of the great poet Mirabai, you know, in the 15th century, whose family sent her a poisonous snake because she wouldn't obey, and she says, "You sent me a poisonous snake. I wear it as a necklace. Thank you very much." So may your ankle bracelet become witty or fall off. Either one. Thank you so much, Stephen Donziger. And we're going to confer backstage to have you on and hopefully Lauren back on for a full hour of unfurling and strategy and directing and gathering team and support. But there's nothing more important. There are maybe things as important, but nothing more important than what you, Stephen Donziger, and you, Lauren Regan, are doing. It is tied to everything. And thank you both so much. And
you.
We will reconvene thanks at so some perfect time. Right? Yeah, thank you. All righty. So, Chris Wells, are you there, you adorable person? Calling Chris.
I'm here. Yes, yes, yes. Hello, hello.
Goody.
Wow.
Hello, hello.
What a story. My goodness. And I didn't even
that's
know
just the
this
tip
story.
Of it. That's just the tip of it. But that's why we're here, team KPFA Pacifica. This is exactly why we're here at this dark of the moon in Gemini airwaves spiraling things out. And we know against all odds, you know, and now that we're here, you know, generating support for our station and the show and the everything, that we can continue to do this because it's so crucial, these voices. And then we also get to just do our against all odds, magic invocation on stage and backstage too. Something I find particularly effective and invite all of you to do, going, let those abusing power be moved to a place they can no longer harm themselves by harming others. Poof. It's a good one. I've seen this one work. And all magic is literalized metaphor. I don't know if I still like this one, but it is very witty. In Santeria, if somebody's behaving badly, you write their name on a piece of paper and you put it in an ice cube tray and you put it in the freezer to cool them out. So I'm just putting that out there in case you know, anybody, there's any nefarious. All right, so here we
are.
I
do have some room in my ice cube tray.
Right. No, no. I used to, and during parties when we had such things, I used to go, yeah. No, don't unfrost that ice cube tray. God knows what'll happen. And every now and then, you know, give a little amnesty, and I throw the ice cube trays into the river going, you'll be good now, or we're putting you back. So, yeah, we are in Fun Drive, and we did really well last week, unbeknownst to me.
Yes.
Because I couldn't figure out the technology, but now I have.
I know the feeling.
So that's... small strides forward. So absolutely. So we would love people to contribute some fun number that is significant to you. Last week worked really well. I said, I love fives and eights, and people gave $58 and somebody gave $580. That was thrilling. $5,800 would be adorable. But really, and I love what KPFA is doing now in the spirit of experimentation, going, no, forget these products. We're all in this together. We want to weave support for Stephen Danziger and his fabulous lawyer and
yes.
all people who are protecting
yes.
the earth and indigenous people from corruption. And in that spirit, 10% of your donation can, if you wish, go to a nonprofit. There's food banks and stuff, but I'm moved by UndocuFund San Francisco and Sonoma and Oakland. You can choose, right? And then just to give some hilarious, witty contribution would be really great. Oh, look, somebody just gave $580 or something. 580 is showing up in some form of the technology. Anyway, the magic is working.
Yes.
Because here we are uniquely blending all of that and then the indigenous magic of that lives in all of our veins of the people of Ecuador, of the people of the Amazon, you know, of indigeneity, as Curtis Catawba coined that phrase, you know, to use everything and airwaves into action. This is such a great listening audience for 23 years because we listen and do things and file scouting reports. And this is it's always been important, but really now, for reasons that our guest just went into, because there's so much nefariousness and the legal system, the judges and the Trumpel-Stiltskin appointing all of that that we know.
Mm.
So you can pledge by going to kpfa.org, or calling 1-800-HEY-KPFA. That's 1-800-439-5732 with a witty, meaningful to you number donation. Nothing is too small, really. Really, it's all magic, or too large.
Yes,
right?
Indeed.
So $5.80.
Personally, I'm fond of sevens and threes.
Oh, sevens and threes. That's good.
I'm sure you have a really good explanation of why fives and eights are your numbers, and I don't know why sevens and threes are mine, but that's just like sevens and threes.
Well, we have these affinities. I'm also very fond of sevens and threes. we like all numbers, but it's really to our dynamic listening audience. It is a great listenership. It's not even an audience. It's a listenership. It is a visionary activist listenership of people who are dedicated to goodness, kindness, ingenuity, effectiveness, ladling out of this cauldron of death and rebirth, you know, a support system for all that is good, all indigenous, all tribal lands, all wildness. That's what we're doing here.
Yes.
So again, you know, it is your pledge, which is magic. Just by anything we do that we imbue with dedicated symbolism has double the potency. So even in your own heart, our own hearts, you know, going by the pledging of this, may it be that against all odds, the judge is recused and moves away and is never heard from again. I mean, we don't know. We leave it to tricksters to the best fate.
But at any rate,
Stephen
is released from bloody house arrest 10 months. It is unbelievable.
Yeah. It is. And when you, we'll go more into the case, and it is a testament to him to not have, you know, complete conniption fits, because, you know, relentless. They win the award, right? Of $60 billion. Something. And it was reduced back down to $9.5 billion. That'll do. Nothing has been paid yet, even though
not.
The award was legal. This is where voices, airwaves, magic,
yes.
Dark of moon, potency right now. This is what we want to spiral forth. And also, you know, reading his story, and I'd heard about it, but I'd sort of forgotten, right? And it's like, to we want to, and this station and this show love, and all of you love to do that, to weave a basket of support for our teammates who are under this incredible pressure. Imagine being sued by Chevron for $60 billion. It is so mean, and it takes such dedication, authenticity, and bravery, you know, and it's the least we can do to pledge to keep the show and Pacific on the air, and also to contribute to him, and also to spread this story.
Yes,
again,
that's the job.
Power of information.
Mm-hmm. That is the job. Well, that's what makes this such a powerful tool, these 59,000 watts that this station operates under, which they would never be giving us now if we were applying for this license now. We were blessed to have applied for a license on the FM dial, and they thought, well, phooey, nobody listens to FM. Who listens? You got to have a different kind of radio to listen to FM. And in fact, we had to hand out FM radios when we first started in 1949. I wasn't here then, but it just feels like it. In order for people to who we were asking to subscribe to be for, asking people then to subscribe couldn't even listen. It was just the idea that a communication enterprise, a radio station, could exist outside what everything else was in, namely the commercial enterprise business and the making a profit business and the selling of the attention of your attention to make somebody else a profit. That's not what we're about at all. We're about getting your attention to focus on people like Stephen Donziger, whom I had not heard of, or at least I don't remember hearing about until just today. So many, many thanks to Caroline for bringing this story to my attention and probably to yours as well. And we're looking for your financial support in order to keep it going. Here's another couple numbers, 94.1. That's where we are on the FM dial. Right smack in the middle. If they did give us anything on the FM dial, believe me, it'd be way at the left end or way at the right end where all the static happens. We're right in the middle because they didn't know any better at the time. And we have outlasted them. We're 71 bleeping years old and going strong and more needed than ever. I say 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA. Caroline is such a gift, and it's so much fun knowing that I'm alive the same time she is, and I can listen to the way she talks and the way she weaves things together. It just is so, it's so heartening. It gives me such comfort. 1-800-439-5732 and online at kpfa.org. Do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take
a breath. I'm still trying to figure out you can tell me if there's anybody to thank. There are people to thank, but I can't find them.
No, I don't know how to do that either. Maybe by next week we'll figure that part out. We've gotten to where we can see the money, but we can't see who or what or anything.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much,
thank
everybody.
You, yes.
Thank you very much. Although we could use a little more. We have 8 new people. That's really exciting. Okay, let's go for 28 just for the fun of it. Who knows? But yeah, what you said, the great article on Greenpeace, which about Stephen from a little ways back. But you know, somebody says you've probably never heard of Stephen Donziger, but I believe history will place Donziger a man. And vilified by his corporate opponents, alongside Gandhi, Susan B. Anthony, Martin Luther King, Vandana Shiva, and other leaders of human rights and environmental resistance to corporate malfeasance and arrogance. He has been trapped in his home detention for 6 months, and may the ankle bracelet, and somebody, you know, quipped into the side going, who pays for the batteries? He said he has to change the batteries 3 times a day. It must be, what is it doing?
Yeah,
what is it? It's the most inefficient ankle bracelet like ever. You know, may it become a blessing. May it become a witty attractor of money for all good things. How do we shape this? But yeah, absolutely. We seem to be, there's 15 people. Okay, that's good. That's good. But I can't quite tell. We seem to be stalled.
Yes,
although
it
could be the technology.
Well, that's true. That's true. They could be trying to catch up. In which case, let's give them something else to catch up to. kpfa.org.
Go
there. kpfa.org and on the telephone at 1-800-439-5732. Everything that you pledge is used, it's squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. Every bit of good that can come out of it is used, it comes out and is applied appropriately. We really, really appreciate all your help, and we would not be here without listeners like you over all these 71 years, knowing that the kind of information they get from a non-commercial entity like KPFA is much different from the information that you get other places. For one thing, it's a lot longer. Caroline can take the time to talk to Stephen Donziger at great length, or as long as he can stay on with us, and bring us the details and the deep story of what he's doing. And commercial media can't do that. The longest story you're going to hear is maybe 3 minutes, and that's a long one. Please call us. Go ahead.
No, well,
I was going to say the number 1-800-439-5732.
Absolutely. And I forgot what I was about to say, but that's perfectly fine. But yes, absolutely. Again, you know, your contribution of any magic number that amuses you and is meaningful to you is crucial. And you know, there are so many things to say. What's been written about Stephen also in home detention for the last 10 months, wearing an ankle bracelet. His work for the indigenous and farmer communities of Ecuador's Amazon is work for all of us.
Mm.
His compassion and perseverance provide an enduring model of citizen commitment to ecology, justice, and common decency. That's, you know, that's what we're dedicating to, that we can feel ourselves etched against somebody's bravery, you know, against the intimidation of a chevron, you know, and a corrupt legal system. We go, no, and we want to back him and what he represents, and Voices Up, and Voice for Pacifica, and for the Visionary Activist Show, and for whatever else, you know, each one of us, it's a powerful time now, Dark of Moon, New Moon, and Gemini, you know, to what is each one of us dedicated to be a messenger for?
Mm.
You know, it is a very useful wondering. And to be agents of sifting through bamboozlement and distraction, going, no, that's a distraction. Here's the thing. This is the focus. Don't let the dementors of doom, you know, whatever the thing is. And, you know, and to engage, you know, everything, you know, indigenuity lives in our souls, you know, and again, you know, to feed our indigenous soul, you know, again, strengthen the bonds of community and connectivity. And that's part of what we are encouraging. Oh goodness, we've been stalled though. Is your technology saying the same thing?
I believe that we are looking at the same set of numbers here. Yeah, exactly.
Come on, team.
Yeah. So the eight new listeners, and new listeners are really what we need. As I was learning from listening to my colleague Mitch Jezrich this morning,
yay,
that there are folks that always give to KPFA and give multiple times every fund drive, no less. I'm reading their names on regular fund drives frequently, and more than once a year. And some of them have fallen victim to the economic disaster that Corona has brought to us. And they are unable to do what they have done, or they have already done it. They've done it last week. So this week we are looking to folks that have just discovered KPFA, or that have been listening for a long time but have never pledged before. And the reminder that you are not buying anything with your money, it's just revolutionary that is not what you're doing. Money is always just to buy a thing. You are supporting something. You are supporting.
Oh, wait, I found it. We're doing much better than the technology would imply. I've toggled something around. I've hit several dials, and now we go, thank you, existing person, Michael, for your pledge. Thank you, existing Anonymous. Thank you for existing Steve. Thank you for new person, Anonymous. They're giving some great money.
Oh,
thank
wow.
you for existing Marita. Thank you for existing Marita. Again, wait a minute. There's more. Wait a minute. I found it. Thank you, existing Lonnie. Thank you, new Columbe. Thank you, new Gabriel. That's so exciting. Thank you, new
yes.
James. Thank you, new Anonymous. Thank you, new Jay. Thank you, new ETI. Thank you, existing Art. Thank you, new Bruce. Thank you, new Marie. Thank you, Marie. Thank you, Bud, existing. There we go. That's pretty cool. All right.
Yeah.
Join these wonderful existing and non-existing, existing and new people. That is adorable. Okay, I've found the right button, apparently.
You're going to have to share that with me once we get off the air.
No, it just requires, you know, standing on your left foot and hopping up and down and praying to the goddess Pacifica. Oh, goddess Pacifica, humans are befoibled. They come and go at the station. You know, although Chris and I have been here for a while, we are old timers, 23 years. Karen Sanders, me, and yourself has been here for, but we're still spry. No, some better word than spry. We're still trickster agents. Absolutely. And yeah, but the goddess Pacifica, the goddess of peace.
We have a long shelf life.
Really and I would say also that now, you know, so it's not to disturb the guests with astrological talk necessarily, but now we can. We are abounding this moment with quintiles, which are irresistible eloquence on behalf of what we love, you know, and to spiral things out with, you know, metaphors and all. And
Again,
draw on everything, every form of activism, yeah, imaginative, dedicated, and again, they work really well together. That's part of the dedication of this show. So again, we are saying it's a wonderful in spirit of trickster ingenuity that KPFA is engaging in, which is, no, never mind premium things. We are inviting you to make a donation, and then if you want, that 10% of that donation can go to food banks or the ones I'm picking. You can choose UndocuFund San Francisco, UndocuFund Sonoma, UndocuFund Oakland, which is, again, we want to embrace all beings, and even the word undocumented, humans are not documented or undocumented. Anyway, but absolutely to embrace so that nobody falls through alone. Not Stephen Donziger, not his great legal team of good pro bono people, although they could also use more money. But yeah, and in keeping with you know, just the spiritedness of Marge Piercy, who says, I will rub my hands with honey and run through the vaults of banks. Come, honey, you know, and build a murmuring swarm in KPFA's, sorry, Marge, purse. You will not be harnessed in dark, imprisoned trust funds. No, soon you'll be free to join others of your kind, right? Absolutely, KPFA comes in and it goes out to greater community goodness.
Yes.
So build a murmuring swarm in KPFA's heart and soul. And let's see, do we have other people? I can't tell. The technology is...
Well, we're going to be out of time in a minute, I think. Yes. Yes.
Right, okay, and then...
1-800-439-5732. We have 1 minute. I'm getting the signal.
1 minute. And thanks to Jera, who's new. Wonderful. Thanks to Anonymous, new. $58. That's adorable.
Yes.
Thanks to Madeline, existing, and Kie... No, that's somebody else. Anyway, wow. Kie in the previous show really put in some money there. Come back, Kie, whoever you are. But anyway, thank you, team. 1-800-439-5732 or securely online, kpfa.org. You know, and thanks to you, Chris, and thanks always to adorable and wonderful Kirsten Thomas. And I am enthused that having these guests on for a short time, they will be back for a full hour in June. That keeps my enthusiasm for our experiment going. Thank you so much, Chris.
Love you. Thank you.
Love you. Yay. Thank you, team. Keep donating to keep the airwaves humming, dedicated to the liberation of all beings.